Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. RepublicBroadcasting.org. It's the swinging chicken of free speech. Did you know, do you remember Chicken Man? Chicken Man! He's everywhere, he's everywhere. That's where Boomer Man comes from, actually. That's Boomer Man. So go to RepublicBroadcasting.org. Boomer Man was a superhero, so was Chicken Man. Or send fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension, no extension. Just ask for Chicken Man. And Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Patrick.
Well, thank you for coming on with me. Before we get into the meat of the show, last week you moderated a debate between John Moore and Blackbird 9. How did that go?
It was good. They weren't as far apart as maybe some people would think they were. I sort of gathered that from talking with both of them on personal conversations. John Moore doesn't hold the statewide narrative as much as you think when he's speaking candidly, and I think he was speaking candidly. But one thing that's interesting, and the topic was Israel. The two questions were posed, is Israel an ally of the U.S. or is it a parasite? And there was another question that was posed in the debate. So the parasite question was posed about Israel. But in the debate, Blackbird 9 got in the reference Chicken Swinger, which he's well known for. He got in the reference several times, which I thought was funny. And I protect my chickens very, very vehemently, and no one's going to be slinging my chickens, let me tell you that right now.
I know. You're not going to boomer post, but you will chicken post.
Chicken posting always.
Yeah. And as well you should, especially when we've got Christy Noem, a self-proclaimed dog murderer, as Homeland Security Director, able to order around ATF, we gotta do some boomer posting because she's not coming anywhere near my dogs. I can tell you that much.
Yes, I feel you.
Yeah,
I have dogs and chickens. No daughters, but dogs.
Dogs, but you have coffee.
Have coffee in the morning.
Okay, so Chicken Swinger, I guess most RBN people know the reference, but there is a practice amongst some in the Jewish community to absolve one from the past year's, is it the past year or the future year's sins by swinging a chicken over your head. Somehow that absolves you of your sins. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I'm sure there's something to it.
Well, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, which pointed to Christ being the ultimate sacrifice, according to the New Testament book of Hebrews, in that sacrificial system, temporarily, you know, they would sacrifice animals, you know, weekly, daily, weekly, yearly. And that was to atone for the sins temporarily. It was to remind Israel that they could never atone for their sins because it was a continual process, and that Jesus Christ's sacrifice stopped all of that system, and he's the ultimate sacrifice for humanity. So
he might be the sacrifice for humanity, but I'm sure a lot of the animals appreciate it too.
They did. But post, you know, post 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed, in Talmudic Judaism, they had to come up with another way to supplement that sacrificial system. So if I understand correctly, in the chicken swinging process, which is really only done by the Orthodox Jews in the black outfits and the curls down the side of the head, they transfer the sins to the chickens and then swing them and smack them on a wall to, you know, absolve their sins. So it's a way to get around not having a temple.
Honestly, being mean to chickens isn't that kind of a sin, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're wonderful animals. Chickens are wonderful birds. They produce eggs every day if you take care of them properly. And there's no reason for all of that. As a matter of fact, I'm an anti-chicken eater right now. I cannot cook chicken wings anymore on the grill because I think of my girls.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm very, emotionally disturbed by this practice, more so than ever. I mean, religiously, I'm disturbed because, they're completely thumbing their nose at Jesus, but, also they're abusing animals. There's no reason to abuse animals. If you need animals for food, that's one thing. But there's a way to do that. And the chicken industry is horrible. I mean, it's very, very bad conditions that the chickens are kept in just for producing eggs, not to mention for producing meat.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be said with pretty much any industry. So the more I delve into it, I might actually become a vegetarian. So I'm not delving into the other industries right now. But
yeah
the chickens, I'm off chickens.
Plus,
they put a lot of steroids in them, too. Yeah.
Yeah, they grow fast. Those chickens that you eat have not lived very long. How long is it from the time an eaten chicken, from the time it hatches until the time it's slaughtered? Is it like 4 weeks? What is it?
My friends that own chicken barns, I mean, you might be talking months or less.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
I'd have to look it up to be sure. But...
Yeah. I was a vegetarian for decades, and I was motivated very largely by not wanting to eat the animals. I eventually started eating seafood, fish and shrimp and whatnot, which I know some of this stuff is farmed, but and I don't really distinguish between the farmed and the caught, and you can overfish too, but I feel like at least the fish were leading normal lives right up to the end.
Yeah, and even in egg laying barns, the chickens will produce for 18 months in egg laying facilities, and then they're discarded.
Really?
Yeah, but in barns where they're produced for meat, yeah, you're talking about less than months because they're shot up with all these steroids. And that's not a good thing to put in your body anyway.
Yeah, well, we got lots of problems. And that's what we do on this show is we talk about lots of problems, try to put them into some sort of perspective. What are we talking about today? We just got done with the part one of Patrick and Jeremy, which is it's being broadcast live as we speak, right? It just started right now. Yeah. That that theme music is just starting, and you're saying, well, what do you say at the beginning?
Oh, welcome to In Plain Sight.
Welcome to
Shill for Aubrey.
So welcome to In Plain Sight. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it. Do you ever notice there's kind of an echo when you're saying those few words?
Is it in the recording?
It's the way so the way I have your theme music is I just use one of your old shows downloaded from RBN, and then I cut out all the speaking part. But there's a little bit of overlap when you're introducing the show and the music's fading out. So I try to sync up your – when you said welcome to play In Plain Sight – On the daily recording with what's on my file from what I downloaded some years ago, and they're never quite in sync. So it sounds like there's a little echo. Maybe some people out there have noticed that and noticed that it's only on the Wednesday or the Tuesday shows with Patrick and Jeremy that it does that. But I'm letting the cat out of the bag.
You can't get that cat back in the bag, can you?
Yeah, I can't get. You know what? That's they used to put cats in bags.
Was it a way to sell somebody what they thought was game food?
Yeah,
really, it was a cat.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then of course the cat comes out of the bag and around runs away. People are expecting a rabbit.
That's what we get with the Trump administration.
Yeah. Yes.
What about the big? homo bill that passed. Was there amnesty in that? I'm hearing some echoes of amnesty.
I don't know if there was amnesty in it, but he's talking. He has been talking for weeks about an effective amnesty, not necessarily an official, but like a de facto amnesty for illegal aliens working on farms and working in hotels.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Well, as long as they're not anti-Semitic.
As long as they're not anti-Semitic. And the ones working on farms and hotels, they are probably mostly Hispanic, you know, Guatemalan or whatever. And they probably are anti-Semitic, but nobody can understand what they're saying. And they probably don't do Facebook, so nobody's going to know the difference.
That sort of a theme from last night was talking about how the Trump administration and what he's done in the last 6 months has sort of exposed the cracks in MAGA. And, you know, they came in hard and strong on going against Palestinian protesters with green cards. And so this proves that they can do these sort of deportations, or they can attempt to. I know a lot of it was held up with national injunctions. But even some national injunctions were, you know, rolled back recently. So,
well,
but it proved that if they want to go after immigrants, they can.
Okay, so here's the thing. So there are three categories of immigrants. There's illegal immigrants. There are people. There are foreign nationals who are here legally. And then there are naturalized citizens who were not born as U.S. citizens, but came here and acquired citizenship. So you've got these three, okay? The easy ones to deport are the illegal aliens. And you're talking about tens of millions. We don't know. They stopped counting at 11 million, and I think we've been at 11 million for 20 years or so. So those are easy, but some of them work on farms and some of them work in hotels and motels. And Trump's indicating that he's not going to go after those. He has been rounding up some. I mean, he's round up a certain amount. Now the second category, people who are here legally on visas, but are not U.S. citizens. These, taking away the visas, canceling the visas of students for being anti-Semitic, so-called anti-Semitic, for opposing the genocide. And now they paused for about 4 weeks processing new student visas until presumably Palantir could come up with some sort of AI program to look for any anti-Israeli or pro-Palestinian sentiments that were expressed by these people on social media and whatnot. There's that. Now, I've also heard Trump say something about stripping, for the third category, those naturalized citizens, U.S. citizens who were not born U.S. citizens but were naturalized. And I'm sure you've got tens of millions. You probably have tens of millions in all the categories. That middle category is probably, it's so easy to get citizenship that I don't know if we're talking about tens of millions in that middle category. It might be, though. It probably is. But stripping the citizenship of U.S. naturalized U.S. citizens who are somehow deemed not sufficiently supportive of Jews. Now, that's something. Now, once upon a time, you have a precedent of stripping U.S. citizens, regardless of whether they're naturalized citizens or native-born citizens, stripping them of their citizenship if they joined a foreign army or even voted in a foreign election. Now, if you've got U.S. citizens who have joined a foreign military and have committed war crimes fighting for a foreign military, there is I mean, this is something that probably until the 1950s, would have gotten somebody's citizenship taken away. And this is something like if, you know, I mean, we got a lot of fish to fry, so to speak, especially since we're not frying chickens. We got a lot of fish to fry, and whether stripping Jews who American Jews of their U.S. citizenship for going and fighting in the Israeli army, whether that's something we want to put on the front burner or not is a different question. But I'm just putting these issues out here.
Yeah. Seems like we're getting prepared for some sort of amnesty, some sort of while he's going after, you know, Venezuelan gangs, gangs that eat dogs and cats. Is that what it is? Which gangs were doing that?
No, those were Haitians. They weren't even gangs. They were regular Haitian people, and that's Haitian cuisine.
Well, you know, he can go after them and look good and say, oh, I'm deporting people. He can go after the pro-Palestinian protesters. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's a lot of legal immigration coming in. There's a lot of Indians coming in working under the Musk plan. So we're still having the same white genocide. It's just like the showman that he is in WWE fashion. He's putting on a show for supporters that he's doing something. I don't know how long that facade can continue, though. You know, how much longer can it continue? Especially when voices like Carlson and Candace Owens are out there putting his feet to the fire in some manner. Maybe not as far as we'd like, but in some manner.
In some manner.
Yeah. Some credit.
Well, while we're on immigration, there's a new Superman movie coming out. Have you heard of this?
Tell me about it. I'm all ears.
Well, I mean, Superman is very old. I mean, it's what, early 20th century? Wasn't it two Jewish creators that developed the character? Kal-El?
It is a Jewish creation.
Yeah.
I used to watch the Superman TV show, which was old at the time. It's one of my earliest memories is watching it in the early 60s, watching Superman on TV.
What didn't it air in the 50s, though?
Yeah, probably Superman aired in the 50s because it was already old when I was seeing it. I mean, everything was black and white because my TV was black and white, but it had an old feeling to it. I was watching before I went to kindergarten.
Yeah, an alien, you know, lands on Earth and is raised by a farm couple that are childless, and the alien's name is Kal-El, and so that's El is Elohim in Hebrew, so the name means like voice of God. So, you know, this alien is living amongst us, looking like a regular human being, but he has superpowers. And that's the whole theme of Superman. And there's been many different versions of Superman. There's the comic, you know, there's the TV show you're talking about. And Christopher Reeve played Superman when I was a child in the 80s. I think the original Superman was 78, but I saw it on a TV movie when I was a child, and then mom and dad took me to Superman 2, which arguably was a decent movie. And after that, they just sort of went downhill, as most movies do when they try to, you know, make sequels. But in Superman 2, you know, the villains from Krypton were released from the Phantom Zone. They came down. Zod comes to Earth to rule it. Superman gives up his powers, and he has to get them back to defeat Zod. It really is a compelling, and it's been turned into like an American hero, truth, justice, and the American way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a new movie coming out, and there's been many movies, but this one, and I'm going off of InfoStormer, new Superman movie is about loving immigrants. So I haven't seen the movie, or I've seen clips of it on Instagram Reels. But Lee Rogers writes, apparently there's a new Superman movie out, and it's about loving immigrants because Superman is an immigrant. There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Wake up. Stop wasting your own time. Today, my friends, Americans are more pessimistic about the economy than they have been in a very long time. And it can be soul-crushing to work as hard as you possibly can, still not have enough money for all the bills. If you're feeling a tremendous amount of stress about your finances, you ain't alone. According to a recent survey, approximately half the entire population is struggling with mental health issues due to financial stress. 47% of adults say concerns about money have at least occasionally caused anxiety, stress, worrisome thoughts, loss of sleep, depression, or other effects. That according to Bankrate's latest money and mental health survey. Bankrate? Who in the hell is Bankrate? Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214. 65% of the people say their biggest concern is inflation and rising prices, and nearly 60% say their stress derives from paying for everyday expenses such as groceries, utilities. 56% say they're worried about having enough emergency savings. 47% are most concerned about being in debt. I like the people that are worried about having enough emergency savings. That's another one of the reasons that you should have been buying gold and silver years ago. Stop worrying about what it's worth from day to day. It's up, it's down, it's inside out. You stop worrying about those things. You can call Kettle Moraine at 602-799-8214 for a private consultation. That's 602-799-8214. Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214.
Clips of it on Instagram Reels, but Lee Rogers writes, apparently there's a new Superman movie out and it's about loving immigrants because Superman is an immigrant. So if you disagree, you aren't a real American, according to the film's director, James Gunn. And it has some clips of Gunn, you know, on X. But, you know, I almost feel like, you know, still using Hollywood, it's an old playbook to sort of condition the public for what's to come. And with all this backlash against Israel and Netanyahu, you know, on the left and the right, I think it probably is something that's sort of getting the populace conditioned. Because people that go pay money for to see movies, they're very gullible. I can't remember when I was in a movie theater last. I just can't justify that kind of expense. But it is interesting using the Superman figure as the face of America, you know, in the comics to try to justify this.
Truth, justice, and the American way.
That's about supporting immigrants.
The American way, yeah. There's nothing more American than immigrants. They're way more American than you and I.
There was a real decent series called Smallville, and I have all the seasons. There's 10 seasons. It started in, like, late 1999. And gone into the early aughts. And the last season was in 2010, I think. Yeah, it was in 2010. I saw the season finale. that was decent. You had the portrayal was Clark Kent, Kal-El, as a teenager learning how to use his powers. And, you know, he's this great hero from Krypton, and he's raised by Jonathan and Martha Kent. And there's certain human values instilled in the alien so that he never uses his power to be like a tyrant, but he learns how to use his power to be a help to humanity. It was very decent. Clark Kent was played by Tom Welling. Mm-hmm. And Lex Luthor, which I would argue is the ultimate Lex Luthor, he did a very good job portraying the character of Michael Rosenbaum. I'm sure that's a Jewish name.
Rosenbaum is a very Jewish name.
And he played Lex Luthor and shaved his head. These people are about my age now, but they were in their early 20s when Smallville came out. But one thing I noticed about the series is that there was a very moral code in the series. Like, Clark had the power when he figured out that someone was a villain or that was going to be a problem. He had the power to kill them, but he never did so. There was this opposite. You know how Jewish power uses this theme of the ends justifies the means. And Smallville, to its credit, that series was completely against that. So in the later seasons, you know, Clark Kent, as he was learning to be Superman, he built the Justice League, and he had the Green Arrow, who was a billionaire, kind of like a Batman figure. He was a billionaire that used his money and technology to fight crime. And Green Arrow was all, you know, there was a season where the clones of Zod and his Kryptonian followers came to Earth, and they didn't have powers yet. And super, you know, Clark had the ability to take them out, and that was Green Arrow's stance. So just take them out, just kill them. And, you know, the message of Clark was, well, they deserve a chance. Like, they deserve a chance to be saved and to be, like, shipped to another world. And the ends does not justify the means. I just thought it was – I'm doing some Smallville posting, but I thought it was a very interesting series that kind of completely goes against, you know, what Israel's doing in Palestine now and, you know, what sort of Jewish power has a tendency to do, you know, to do the first strike and kill those that you think are going to be a threat to you. Interesting. But no, I just, the Superman movie, I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but there's some pretty cool scenes in it. But yeah, it's apparently some sort of pro-immigration push, you know, using one of America's most beloved superheroes. Another interesting thing is that Americans tend to see, like, they tend to idolize these comic book superheroes. You see a lot of Avengers movies coming out. You know, that's been a big thing in the last 15 years. Huge with the kids. And it's real easy to influence and mold the next generation by just putting subtle things into these comic book superhero movies. I mean, very...
Sometimes they're not so subtle, too.
Who's been going over the top recently? Yeah. Who was the guy that was big on propaganda in the early 20th century? Hold on.
You mean it's Freud's nephew?
Freud's nephew.
Yeah, what was the guy's name?
Exactly. You knew exactly where I was going.
Yeah. It went through my mind.
All right, we got to call this guy out because we should know this. He influenced advertising in America bigly in the early 20th century.
Yeah, I see.
Edward Bernays.
Edward Bernays.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full one-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion-activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Influenced advertising in America bigly in the early 20th century.
Yeah, I see.
Edward Bernays.
Edward Bernays. Look at that. Look at that face. Actually, you know, if I look at this face, I wouldn't. I have got pretty good Judar. I'd look at this guy and say he's like Cuban or something.
I mean, hugely influenced the early American 20th century, you know, through advertising, through manipulating the public, and you know, that's still the game, that's still the playbook today, using Hollywood. But there's so many people that are unplugged from Hollywood now, that this doesn't work on. So, you know, why are they using the same playbook? I mean, it's a default, I don't know, but yeah, I think they're getting us ready for white replacement. And you know what, someone 20 years ago, 24 years ago, tried to warn us about this, about America being populated by anti-Semitic Muslims. And we see this playing out now. Stephen Steinlein.
Stephen Steinlein.
It's the Stein. Yeah, we should write a book called The Steinlein Prophecies. They're all coming true. From the Democratic elect governor in, well, he's not elected yet, but he's the nominee for the
mayor
party in New York.
The mayor?
Mayor. Did I say governor? I meant mayor.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget, I haven't wrapped my mind around his name. What is it? Mustafa Numbaya or something. I don't know what his name is. but yeah, interesting. I mean, I welcome this, even though people will say, well, he's a communist and anti-white and all this. But it's funny. I mean, because I had called for when the United States loses World War IV for it to be occupied, mostly by China and Russia. But I did always want Brooklyn, at least Brooklyn, if not all of New York, but Brooklyn, I thought should be occupied by the Iranians. And having some Indian Muslim guy, well, that's like, I guess that's the next best thing for the time being.
Zorhan Mandani.
Yeah.
And you look at a picture of this guy, I mean, he could pass for Slavic real easy.
Could he?
Or even Italian, if you just look at his looks. He could pass for Slavic or Italian. So he's got, you know, he doesn't have the Indian look, but my goodness, the name. But it's a testimony to what Steinlott was talking about. You know, you keep doing this and, you know, you're going to lose control of the country. And we got this guy, the Democrat nominee for mayor in New York. We already have Rashida Tlaib and
Ilhan Omar. Yeah.
Who has a huge constituency, very huge.
Yeah.
And you're not going to root them out of power. So this is an untenable. This is untenable and, get ready for it, unsustainable.
Yeah.
It's unsustainable.
It's unsustainable. Good word, by the way.
Yeah. The leftists like that word.
And then you've got the blacks, and you've got a couple of black Congress bitches, at least, who are, you know, they're, maybe it's just because they think they're being anti-white, but they're calling out Israel, and we'll see where this all goes. And then, by the way, Candace Owens, who was it? I was listening to some show, and you know, everybody's freaking out, all the Jews are freaking out about Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. I think Jim Fetzer earlier, was it Jim Fetzer? Or was it somebody else? Was playing a clip of somebody who was freaking out about Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, and all these Jews were calling them anti-Semites and this and that. And somebody referred to Candace Owens as David Duke's daughter if he had had jungle fever or something like that. And I thought,
I heard that.
That's pretty good.
I heard that the face of the white nationalist movement is Candace Owens.
Yeah.
there's an interesting article from InfoStormer, Jews Rage After Tucker Carlson Does Interview with Iran's President. This reminds me of when he interviewed Putin. Always doing the controversial interviews, to his credit. So he writes, Jews are very angry after Tucker Carlson announced that he did an interview with the president of Iran. Laura Loomer's tweet is featured in this. She says, I don't ever want to hear anyone ever again say Tucker Carlson is America first. He knew damn well Iran threatened to assassinate President Trump. He pretended like he didn't because he likely had his interview in the works. Tucker Carlson is a mouthpiece for Islamists. That's Laura Loomer's tweet. Fascinating how she shifts the focus to Islam.
Well, okay, so look at what the Jews were trying to do to Trump. Jude taught him the first... all the way through that first administration, accused him of treason, which is a capital offense. And then we don't know what went on with those two assassination attempts. I think it's very likely that at least the first one, that there was some sort of Fed involvement, maybe FBI or whatever, or similar Fed recruitment of this guy. I think that kid from the Bethel Park High School was probably recruited online. We don't know because they scrub his social media as soon as this happens. But and then, of course, the Secret Service seem to be letting it happen, just like the Israeli military let October 7th happen. It seemed like they were just purposely leaving the door open. But whatever. I mean, but and then what have the and you've got Trump, as Trump assassinated Iran's biggest military hero. He assassinated him and frequently brags about it, right? So who's our biggest military hero? You know, I don't know, but George Patton. Well, by the way, who killed George Patton?
Well, shortly after he announced that, you know, he should have armed Germany to go against the Russians, the Soviet Union, he was in a car wreck and then died of complications in the hospital. So I don't know who killed him.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Bill O'Reilly wrote a book on it.
Yeah, who killed, he liked to ask who killed people. Anyway, so who in Iran threatened to kill Trump? I mean, if it was a supreme leader, he wouldn't have to threaten to kill Trump. He could issue a fatwa. And that
that's
hasn't
what
happened.
He did, right? I thought he issued a fatwa.
To kill Trump? Not the supreme leader. I don't know if there's some lower cleric somewhere who did, but supreme leader absolutely did not do that. And then the president of Iran is, in as far as the Iranian political system is concerned, he's like super pro-Western. This is somebody who refused a proposed military alliance with Russia because he thought he was going to be friendly with America. He was going to repair relations with America.
The articles I pulled up, Foundation for Defense of Democracies, Iran Grand Ayatollah issues fatwa calling for President Trump to be killed.
Really?
And that's, yeah, I signed some articles.
I wonder if,
but, you know, that's mainstream media. So, I mean, Foundation for Defense of Democracies.
Which is, let's look up that now, because that's a very suspect organization. Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
Yeah, Newsweek also published it. And then some of the other headlines just say Iran in general issued it.
Yeah, I'd like to. I mean, I will say I just don't believe that. But whatever. Well, I don't have anything.
You might be talking about a mistranslation, you know, where they Iran called for the end of.
Oh, yeah, wiping Israel off the map, and that never happened.
Yeah.
Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, this is AI, this is Brave Browser AI, is a neoconservative 501c3 nonprofit think tank based in Washington, D.C. It has been described as pro-Israel, anti-Iran lobby group due to its focus on Iran and opposition to the 2015 nuclear deal. So, in other words, it's a bunch of Jews.
Yeah, I mean, it's been peppered all over the media. You know how they take a headline like that and just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Newsweek, Iran issues fatwa against Donald Trump, who is described as the enemy of God.
Mark
this is after the strikes.
Mark Dubowitz, CEO. Yeah, it's a bunch of Jews. Let's see, you got Toby Dershowitz, Senior Vice President. It looks pretty Jewed up. Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President for Research. So it looks pretty Jewed up to me. But they have some famous goyim on their board of directors. So they've got Steve Forbes, who ran for president, who actually was really funny on Saturday Night Live. He hosted Saturday Night Live once. He ran for president, I think, 1996. And he hosted Saturday Night Live, and he did this skit where he was a roofer, and he and some other roofers were on the on a roof, and they're talking about stuff. And then Steve Forbes went on this really passionate diatribe against rich people, and it was actually really funny. Jack Kemp, Gene Kirkpatrick, oh my God. I mean, these are horrible, horrible pro-Jewish politicians. Newt Gingrich, James Woolsey. And Woolsey might be part Jewish, but mostly not. And then Bill Kristol and Richard Perle. as advisors. So it's totally chewed up.
Newsweek is reporting a senior cleric in Iran has issued a fatwa declaring that anyone who threatens Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is an enemy of God.
Okay, so obviously that was not the supreme leader who issued the fatwa.
Yeah.
Right.
Even Newsweek is admitting that, yeah.
Yeah. So this is just... The Jews get to say things. I mean, I don't even like hearing myself talk like this. The Jews get to do this, but the Jews get to say whatever they want, and it can be complete bull honk, or as our illustrious James Fetzer would say, bullshit. And either they get away with it, or, you know, they don't, they'll back off, but nobody will, they'll never have to answer for it. There's no accountability. And yet we have to take at face value everything they say about events that happened in the 1940s. Has to be taken at face value, even though a lot of those things have been, you know, like nobody talks seriously about soap and lampshades anymore.
No.
And, you know, honestly, when I was a kid, I hadn't, like my kids, when they went to school, they were getting in the, you know, 1990s and the 2000s, they were getting Holocaust education. I didn't. I'd never heard of it. I never heard of it until I was in junior high school. And when I heard the word, I didn't even know what it meant.
It goes back to the whole Bernaysian thing of controlling the populace through the media. And, you know, they can just pepper these headlines. And most people don't look into it deeply or read even the content of, you know, what's under the headline. They just take the headline and run with it. The headline is very important. The headline in news is very important. It can set the whole tone of how you read the content of what's written. And that's a Bernaysian thing.
Mm. All right. Well, we have like 5 minutes left. Do we have anything we want to get to? Any bottom of the barrel? We used to use that term. We used to borrow that term from, Fascination, I think. Is that who talked about bottom of the barrel?
Yeah.
Jazz Hands?
Well, yeah, that's where it comes from. What's up with garbage filling the streets of Philadelphia? That's an InfoStormer headline.
Nothing new.
Reuters reports garbage piled up around Philadelphia as the city's largest blue-collar workers union went on strike, impacting services across the city, including sanitation. And then there's some different tweets from different people documenting this. So, all right. So the InfoStormer writes, apparently trash collectors have gone on strike and nobody is picking up the trash. This is not good for the environment, but Democrats only care about fake environmental issues like climate change. Ooh. They don't take real environmental issues seriously. This is definitely some third world type Shiite going on. That's because America has transformed itself into a third world country by bringing in third world populations. Philadelphia mayor is some stupid N-bomb biatch, so don't expect her to solve anything. I have a feeling the trash is going to continue piling up for a while.
Who's the mayor of Philadelphia these days?
Well, let's just find out.
There used to be, back in the 70s, they had a Mayor Rizzo, who famously, when the president of Nigeria visited Philadelphia, he welcomed the president of Nigeria.
Not sure. Sherelle Parker is the 100th mayor of Philadelphia.
Yeah, Frank Rizzo.
She looks like Matea? Who's that chick? It was a guy that dressed up like a woman.
Flip Wilson?
Yeah, maybe. I know. This is Medea's. Medea goes to prison. Medea's day out.
No, I don't know that.
Oh.
Mel Parker.
Look it up.
Okay.
What happened to the good old days when we had like Dave Chappelle doing black comedy? I mean, that guy was based.
He still is.
Yeah, Medea. That's the character. It's a black guy that dresses up like an old black woman, and you know, Tyler Perry. Yeah, Tyler Perry is the actor that plays Medea. That's what this mayor looks like, is Medea. You would have to look it up. But some of the listeners know what we're talking about.
Okay. This
again, what about the good old days of black comedy? Just as we end the show, Red Fox in the 70s did a truly like critical commentary on black culture through comedy.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Red Fox in the '70s did a truly like critical commentary on black culture through comedy. And that's what Sanford and Son was all about, and what all the stand-ups were about. You had what in the '80s, mine went blank again. In the '80s, you had 48 Hours, Nick Nolte, and
I don't know.
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy
did
So in the 70s, you had, you know, Red Fox. In the 80s, you had Eddie Murphy doing an honest commentary on black culture.
In the 60s, you had Flip Wilson. I thought he was funny, but I was too young to really understand maybe a lot of the stuff he was talking about. But yeah, he did this character, Geraldine. The devil made me do it.
In the 90s and early aughts, you had Dave Chappelle, who I'm a big fan of, by the way. I've got his complete collection on DVD of the Chappelle Show. Well, I've got the best hits. He did a critical, a critique on black culture using comedy, and it was funny. And even black people were like nervous watching it. They're like, can he really do that? where are these guys? That's not allowed anymore. That's not a thing. You can't make comedy of this stuff because everybody's too sensitive. But I think Dave Chappelle was probably the last of the great black comedians that would actually talk about issues in the black community using comedy and critique it. But he didn't leave out the blacks. He critiqued the Mexicans, the Jews, and white people, you know, much like Red Fox did. You remember in Sanford and Son, you know, they had the Jewish neighbor, right? They had the black and white cop, and the white cop was real dumb and stupid and didn't understand Ebonics. And then you had Julio, the Puerto Rican neighbor. And they didn't leave anybody out. I mean, it was all no holds barred critique of all cultures, and it was done in fun, and we all thought it was funny. Even the Jeffersons, for some, you know, to some extent, did that, as well as Archie Bunker in the game. Those days are gone, and we can't joke about this stuff anymore. It's really boring, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, that's why everything sucks. But except for the Patrick and Jeremy show, so
right.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Patrick. We tried to keep it classy, and I think we were hitting the boundaries, but we steered it in between the lines. We kept the vehicle from going outside the lines.
Yeah. All right. best we didn't talk about the big gay Bill Moore. All right. Well, thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with a Boomer Vision. It's not that classy, but it is an exciting episode of National Boomer Radio.
Gaddy, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, dixierepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.